I want to start out with a scripture in Luke chapter 16. And Pastor Kim's going to join me here tonight. And again, we're going to talk, but we want to make this interactive. So I'll know, media, if y'all have extra microphones that we can just sort of have ready, because we want to give you the opportunity to ask questions. Ask questions. What did I say? I mean, it's not making statements. Sometimes people want to make these statements and show everybody what they know. But let's not do that. Let's just ask questions, because we need to get answers. Okay? So Luke 16. Luke 16, there's a parable that Jesus gives of this, what scholars call the unjust steward, who had done some unscrupulous things, and he was about to get fired by his boss. And he worked some deals and got people off the hook. He kind of canceled or minimized people's debts and made some friends. And so when we look at Luke 16 and verse 8, I want to put it on the screen for us, please, media. Luke 16, verse 8, look at what Jesus says, how he closed the parable. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Okay? Read this last line with me. Ready? Read. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Read it again. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So we have two different people groups here. Right? One being the sons of the world, and two being who? Now, which one are we? We're the sons of the light. Okay, we're the light. We're in the light. But notice Jesus makes a statement here. The parable is closed at the first period in Luke 16, 8. The B part of Luke 16, 8 is Jesus' conclusion, the principle that he gives to us. In other words, here's the takeaway. When you give a parable, here's the takeaway from that parable. That the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. That word shrewd in the King James is wiser, right, D? So, in other words, I'm going to read it from the King James, how it said, the sons of this world are wiser in their generation than the sons of the light. Right. Now, he talks about, give me verse 9. Y'all have it up there. This is good. Verse 9. And I say unto you, and is a conjunction, which means this is tied to what we just read. And I say unto you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Okay? So make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. What is unrighteous mammon he's talking about? What?
Money.
He's talking about money. So he's talking about how people use money. So let's go back to verse 8. Go back to verse 8. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. So when he's saying more shrewd or wiser, he's not talking about better educated and they know, you know, more about how the equator is, you know, how far we are from the equator and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about how they handle money. How shrewd they are with money. How wise they are in financial dealings. Okay, now I made a statement Sunday morning when I was preaching, and I want to make sure y'all don't misconstrue things I say. And I made a statement about laying hands on people for prosperity. And I said, hey, we can't just lay hands on people for prosperity. Now, there is a prosperity anointing that can be imparted, but the problem with laying hands on someone for prosperity or anything else is if you don't know the principles of how prosperity works. If you don't know the principles of how to work finances, you can have every person on this planet who has some jingle lay hands on you and you will not, your life will not change. Because you and I have to learn how to use money, how to work with money. Money is a resource and money is a tool. You got it? It's a resource. Say it's a resource. And it's a tool. Just like you have a pair of pliers or, you know, a hammer in your toolbox. Money is a tool. And if you don't know how to use that tool, it's like trying to use pliers to screw in a screw. Wrong tool. So we have to learn how money works. And so what happens is, my wife and I, we were at my son's baseball game earlier today, and we were sitting behind a group of guys, and we're just kind of eavesdropping on their conversation. There's a whole group of older guys there, and we were eavesdropping on their conversation. Okay? And we heard them talking about these financial dealings and retirement plans and properties that they have and buying and selling and all these things like that. And my wife, you know, made a statement. She asked, you know, just tell me which is it. Because these guys were, let me give you two descriptions. One, it was apparent by their skin they were all white. Two, it became apparent by their vocabulary that they were unsaved. It was 10, 12 of them, right? And matter of fact, they were leaving, they were all heading to the bar. But we were eavesdropping on the conversation and just listening to how they talk about money. My wife may ask this question. She said, John, do you think older black men sit around like and talk about things like this? I said, no. I said, and the problem is most of our older black men, and most of those guys were talking about this 30 years ago. These are old, all retired guys. And they were talking like this 30 years ago with other guys. And so there's information, there's a literacy that has passed in certain people groups. And I don't mean based on color, I mean based on socioeconomic status. There are things that people talk about. When the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child, and when he is, he'll not depart from it. It's not talking about it in the Bible. It's not talking about train him up in the word. It's talking about finances. Proverbs 22 is a financial proverb. So it's talking about training your children on how to handle money. So these conversations are had outside of the church community. And I know for sure outside of the black community. Because most of us never had the opportunity to sit down with our parents and they talked to us about how you handle money. Am I right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right crowd here. Most of us did not have the privilege of sitting down with someone to talk to us about how you handle money. We kind of felt as we went and discovered as we went and figured it out and messed it up more times. And the hope would have been that you mess it up enough times and said, I'm not doing it anymore. But what I find is we got a lot of people in our community, in our church, who keep making the same oops over and over and over again and end up in the same condition, same predicament over and over and over again. And it's conversations need to be had. We need to be more shrewd. And so that's what this month in America is about. It's called Financial Literacy Month. You have something you want to jump in?
You know, when we talk about financial literacy and being shrewd, being wise, when you study that out in the Greek, it comes from a word phreno that means wise. But one of the definitions said of the mind, and so it's having. The children of this world or the sons of this world have a better mindset than the children or the sons of light. And the sons of light, we have to have the mindset because there is a mandate on our money. And I don't think we're understanding that yet. I am a preacher of prosperity. I want prosperity. I want everybody to have prosperity. Prosperity is biblical. But we've twisted the prosperity message in the sense of we think the prosperity message is just about us and how well we do and how well we drive and how well we live. No, the prosperity message is about the kingdom and how well the kingdom fares and how well the kingdom advances. When we look at scriptures, we are told over and over again to be good stewards of our money, and not to be good stewards so that we can look fabulous. But if you look at Acts chapter 2, you know that all of them had all things in common together. Now, I know there's some who say, oh my God, that's the genesis of socialism. And it is not. It is the genesis of the church. And it is the church's responsibility that when people come in and they are saved, until they know how to do better, we help them be better. And so we discussed this one Wednesday morning in prayer from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, where it tells us that we ought to comfort the feeble-minded. There are some people who, my God, they're literally feeble-minded. Well, until they are able, do we just sit and let them suffer? Do we just sit and let them go through? No, it's required of us as people of God that we have to have something to give. We can't keep saying, come on here, James, be filled, be warm, go on about your business, you're going to be all right. No, true religion and undefiled is that we take care of the widows and the orphans. Not that true religion is we look great when we go to church. No, true religion is we are able not only to meet our needs and not have to go to the world, but we're also able to do like Jesus. And that's to go about doing good. We're supposed to all be philanthropists of some sort. Whatever level you're on, you're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a philanthropist at my level. That's and right. We can't do it if we don't know how money works. We don't know how to handle it, or if we have a poor money mindset. And so if we keep burying our heads in the sand, hoping that the apostle, the prophet will come in town and just say something, do something, and it's going to all be better, I'm going to tell you right now, this thing is getting real. It's hitting critical mass.
That's right.
And many people are approaching the tipping point. And we're hitting a place in America where it's not racial. So everybody right. Stop getting that's caught right. Up in the race thing. It's not racial
my Lord. That's right.
At all.
That's right. That's right.
It's a socioeconomic divide.
That's right.
And the disparity every second.
It's getting bigger.
It's getting wider and wider and wider. Mm-hmm. Educational gap? It's not an educational gap. It's an economic gap. Do you see what I'm saying? So we've got to get this, and we've got to get this now.
And part of the educational gap that's perceived is because of the economic gap.
Exactly right.
You know, we were talking to some people. We were out at a baseball game last night at Largo High School. And at Largo High School, they're running right now close to 2,600 students in that high school. Y'all know Largo High School?
Yeah.
Lakewood High School is running right now about 900 students. Largo has a waiting list.
They're putting kids into other schools.
They're having to turn kids away and send them to other schools.
Even though they're zoned there.
Even though they're zoned for Largo, they're sending kids to other schools because they're so packed. There's a waiting list, people waiting to get into Largo High School. What's happening in the South County, is Lakewood's at about 900 students.
Yeah.
They're threatening right now to shut Lakewood down because the population is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And what's happening is we know the population of St. Pete and South St. Pete isn't getting smaller.
No, by no means. By no means. By no means.
You know, we all live here. The population is getting bigger. It's larger. Well, why aren't the schools getting bigger? Because people who have money are not sending their kids
to those schools.
So the educational divide is because of economics.
So if you have that kind of issue, where is the county, the state, and the federal government now sending all of the resources?
To Largo.
They're going North County. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a place of alarm.
Code red.
Because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing what's happening, and it's not good. You know, when you start talking about rent in this area, Well, you're saying a one-bedroom apartment is running you $1,800 a month. And that's not Waterview. That ain't Lakeview. That's
Alleyview.
That's Alley.
You get to see them pick up the garbage truck.
Right. That's
garbage can. So
we've got to get this, because unless you're going to pack up and move, I don't know maybe Jackson, Mississippi, some small towns in Mississippi.
No water.
That
word wiser, mm-hmm, in the King James, when it says the sons of this world, mm-hmm, are wiser, comes from the Greek word phronimos, which means intelligent, wise, prudent, mindful of one's interests. Intelligent, wise, prudent, and mindful of one's interests, okay? Let's listen to that Luke 16:8 in the Voice translation. Media may not have this because I sent the notes last week, I think, but we didn't use them, so they probably I didn't resend them this week. All right, so you have to listen to this, okay? Listen to this verse in the Voice translation. When the manager's boss realized what he had done, he congratulated him for at least being clever. That's how it is. Now listen to this. Those attuned to this evil age are more clever in dealing with their affairs than the enlightened are in dealing with their affairs. So there's a cleverness that must be had when it comes to finances. That's what being shrewd is. It's being clever. It's being, okay, I'm knowledgeable. I'm mindful of how these systems operate, how money operates. And I have to make sure I adjust myself to be able to operate. Because as Pastor Kim just alluded to, it's getting more and more expensive nationwide. Nationwide. States are doing, there are some crazy things happening. You think about California, we just approved a $20 minimum wage. And people think, oh, that's great. I can go make $20 of anything. It's not, because when minimum wage goes up, the cost of everything else goes up commensurate with that. So they don't just give everybody $20 and all of a sudden keep all the rest of the prices low. You are forced to raise the prices. So now they're complaining about an $18 Big Mac meal at McDonald's. Well, you got to charge $18. How are you going to pay the $20 an hour? You understand? Everything goes up with it. So people who aren't shrewd, they think, oh, yeah, let me go do that. Give me more. Give me that minimum wage. That's not how finances actually work. So we have to learn how finances actually work. Amen?
Amen.
So listen to this. Literacy, what does literacy mean? Literacy is being knowledgeable in a particular subject or field. That's all literacy means, being knowledgeable. Just like we talk about literacy when it comes to reading or math literacy. Financial literacy is simply being knowledgeable in a particular subject or field, okay? So again, the common problem that we have is people lack a basic knowledge of how finances work, okay? So what Pastor Kim and I want to do is give you and all those who are listening a basic knowledge of finances. A basic knowledge of finances. I'm not qualified to give you advanced knowledge. You understand that? I'm not a certified financial planner. I'm not a tax preparer. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a wealth manager. But I can give you basics. Okay? Okay. So there's four basic components that I want to cover, that we're going to cover tonight or the next couple of weeks or however long this takes us. Okay? I'm going to write these down. Income, interest, investments, and insurance. It's four I's. Income, interest, investments, and insurance. Of all the studies that I've looked at, those are four real components that you have to really look at to secure your financial well-being. What are they again?
Income, interest, investments, insurance.
Okay? Most people never even think about interest except how much you're paying on your car note. And a lot of people don't even know how much they're paying in interest. All they know is what their payment is. This is how they trick the common person. You walk into a car dealership, They say, how much you want to pay a month? How much you think can you afford the month? I think I can do $400. You're lying, first of all. I think I can do $400. And they say, okay, we can work something out. Now, you don't know you're walking out with 28% interest on that car. And you don't care because you told them $400 a month. So interest is not your friend unless you're earning it. Interest is your enemy if you're paying it. Okay? Then we don't talk a lot about investments because most people don't have enough left over at the end of the month to even think about investments. And I won't get to tonight, but interest and investments are how you and I stay ahead of inflation. If inflation right now is in America over the last 12 months is about 6.5%. That's what the inflation rate is right now over the last 12 months. Actually, from the research I did from February to February, about 6% inflation. What does that mean? Does anybody know what I mean when I say inflation? It means the cost of things are rising by that percentage. So in other words, things cost today 6% more than they did 12 months ago. How many of y'all can testify? I've been to the grocery store or I've been to the restaurant or whatever, tried to buy something. Gas station. I think that's a gas. That's got to be 30%. I don't know what they're doing to that gas. Because they're still importing gas for some dumb reason. So 6%. And so if you don't have interest coming to you or investments coming to you, then interest is eating you up. I'm sorry, inflation rather is eating you up. Well, no, Pastor, I got money in my coffee can. That's stupid. I got money in my safe. Even more stupid. Because that, let's say, it's losing value as it's sitting in your safe. No, I got $1 million in my safe. That $1 million in your safe is only worth about $999,000 today. It was $1 million last year, yeah. But it's only worth, in spending value, about $999,000. You got it? Or actually a lot less than that because it lost 6% of its value, right? 10% of its value would be $100,000, so it's about, you're at about $940,000 in spending power. Does this make sense to you? If it doesn't, please raise your hand because I don't want to lose anybody. We're in class. So to sit money in a safe or in a coffee can or under your mattress or dig a hole in the backyard does not keep you ahead of inflation. Because inflation, you keep people in, these people in office who don't care nothing about America or care nothing about you, and I'm not picking sides, because to me, I don't like either side gives a doggone. I was telling my wife earlier today, you look at what's happening in Florida, people are selling properties in Florida now, just going, because one of the reasons is because insurance rates are skyrocketing in Florida. Do you know who they have to get approval from to get their insurance hikes? Our state government, which is all Republican. People think it's just the Democrats. Our state government is all Republican. They're approving the hikes. When Duke Energy or TECO goes and asks for a rate hike to charge all of us, they have to get state approval for that. And who's approving those rate hikes? The Republicans. And we want to blame everything on Democrats. The Democrats are to blame, but the Republicans are not off the hook. So people who think this is about, oh, we got to get, no, listen, when it comes, it's all about money. And if you and I aren't shrewd, then we come out on the losing end of the whole money game. Okay? So we're going to deal with that. Okay, go ahead, right, please.
And we're not talking here about, we're not, tonight, this week, or however we do this, we're not talking about the supernatural. Okay? We know the supernatural will do what the supernatural does. We're talking
natural.
What we do Monday through Sunday with what we have. We get a lot of teaching on what the supernatural can do. But we are finding that we're focusing on the spiritual And the natural is going
lacking.
It's going lacking. And so what would happen if we, the Bible tells us first the natural, then the spiritual. Mm-hmm. What would happen if we got both of them working?
Well, what we know is God, whenever God steps in, he requires order.
He requires it.
The fire didn't fall for Elijah until they organized the sacrifice, the altars.
That's exactly right.
When the 5,000 weren't fed till they got organized. They had to sit in organized spaces. God always requires, when there's a miracle, he requires a natural act. They had to go get the pots.
That's right.
When he was going to give them wine at their feast, they had to go fill those natural water pots with some natural water. God always requires a natural. When we say supernatural, it's God putting his super. The word super means above. So it's God coming from above, putting it on your natural. So if we don't handle the natural, then he's never going to waste anything. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
God is good about redeeming our lives from destruction, even if it's our own fault. He's a witness. He's good at making a way out of no way, opening a door and opening a window late in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around. But God's trying to get us to not be at the midnight hour all the time.
That's right. We should be tired of that.
We need to get tired of being at the midnight hour.
Yes.
When it's at the last minute, oh Lord, he's trying to get us to, okay, no. Let's back up and let's go back to the beginning and get things in order so you don't need a late in the midnight hour miracle every month, every year. Y'all follow me? Okay. So we're going to talk about income. Again, not all tonight, so don't stress out. I'm still trying to get out of here about 8:30-ish, okay? Income, interest, investments, and insurance. Everybody say insurance.
Insurance.
Okay, and that's very important. How many of y'all have insurance in some area of your life? Okay, good, good. Because if you're driving, you better have insurance. Or don't get anywhere near me. And you're breaking the law, first of all, okay? Praise God. Okay, those are all very important things, okay? So I'll deal with that when we get there. So number one is income. So everybody catch this right here. Mm-hmm. Write it down or record it in your mind. We need to produce basic income. We need to produce basic income.
That's right.
That sounds like a very basic statement, doesn't it?
Yes.
It done nothing deep about that, but we're not dealing with the deeper.
No, ain't no deeper right here tonight.
We're dealing right here with the regular here.
That's
we
it.
Need to produce basic income.
Right.
That seems to be a lost idea in today's 2024 world. Producing a basic income.
Right.
Now, why the basic income? That's the income from which you can set your budget or your spending plan.
That's right.
It's quiet in this Presbyterian church.
Right.
A basic income. In other words, it's what I know. Now, I know there's a strong entrepreneurial spirit in this church. Strong entrepreneurial spirit. God, I feel him. I'm supposed to spread my wings and fly. I know. I know. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You got to prove you can walk before you can run. And sometimes we're trying to run and fly. All right? We mount up on wings as eagles. I'm ready to mount up, Pastor. Yeah, but first run. Before you run, I need you to show you can walk. And walking is basic income. Y'all, I wish y'all could see your faces. I wish. Yeah, look at the faces, baby. I need to produce. Everybody say, I'm a producer.
I'm a producer.
Okay. Remember in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, when God blessed them, he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes, sir.
I've taught you before, the word fruitful means produce. Right? This isn't just you having kids, children. It's what you produce. What you generate. What you bring forth. And we are all under divine command and have all been given the divine ability to produce something. Okay? And even when Adam, even though Adam was spiritual, connected to God, the first job gave that God gave Adam was to work. Tend this garden.
That's
huh?
Right.
Hello, back in the back. Y'all, am I right? Wake your neighbor up now. Tell, you gotta work your garden. You gotta produce something. Every one of us have in us this divine ability and a mandate from God to produce something.
Right.
Be fruitful, multiply. It means produce and reproduce. That's what multiply means. It means reproduce.
Keep doing it.
Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say this because I can't spend what I don't have.
And I'll add this in. And it's not the government's job to make sure you make it.
It's against my divine nature to wait on charity.
It's against, I ain't your outreach.
It's against my divine nature to wait on charity. It's my divine nature to be charitable.
Minister, man of God.
I'm programmed to be charitable, not to be the charity.
Right. Right.
So I'm supposed to produce something.
Yeah, right.
It's a basic income. Something that, catch this, is calculable
and consistent.
Consistent, continual.
That's right.
They trying to bind me up. Okay. Until you can unbind yourself.
Take your tail to WORK.
Listen, you all know me. I'm not against the entrepreneurial spirit. I've taught it. I've tried to breed entrepreneurs in here. We were raised, my brother Warren here would tell you, I never knew my parents to work for anybody. Did you? I don't, because you're older, you're way older than me. My brother's way older.
Oh, don't.
How old are you? You see, you wearing a reading glass, you had to take them off real quick. Did you ever know them to work anywhere? For anybody? Okay. Not for long. Because when I came along, my parents owned restaurants, laundromat, ice cream shop, barbershops, of course. That and what? And property, right? They were doing real estate flipping. That's all that's how I grew up. That's all I knew about my parents. Entrepreneurs. So that's in my mind, that's how you operate. So I'm not against that. But what I understand is you have to work your way. They didn't start that way. See, I didn't know that, but they didn't start that way. So there's nothing wrong with what you call it, the fabulous 40.
The fabulous 40. That money,
that's not talking about your age. It's talking about how many hours a week you work.
You can calculate it. Right.
The fabulous 40.
Right.
Because that you're clocking you, in or what?
Right. Because when you go to rent an apartment, get a car, whatever, however you do it, they're not looking for your projections. They want to know what you have made, what you will make tomorrow, next month, and next year. They don't care nothing about your business plan. They
or
don't care
faith.
Nothing about
or your faith.
Or your faith. They could not
I
care
believe
less.
In God for $1 million this year.
Because where we're headed now in St. Petersburg.
And across America.
Across America. So let's just get our minds thinking financially. If rent is $2,000 a month, you'll take it. Amen.
Show me that.
And to move in, they need proof.
Of 3 times.
Of 3 times that amount. How much money do you need to make per month?
$6,000.
$6,000 a month. Okay, wait a minute now. We're not done. $6,000 a month times 12.
$72,000 a year.
How much do you need to live? To live in a $2,000 a month apartment. I'm going to take my classes off. Where does $2,000 a month put you? I'm just going to tell you where it's going to put you. It's not going to allow you in Palmetto Park. You can't go there.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You can't go to Lake Maggiore Shores. You can't go there. You definitely can't go Old Southeast. You can't go there.
It's our version of the inner city.
I don't know where you're going. Did you just hear what I just said? There's got to be a, I'm going to give them a buzzword, manifested. 72,000 per year to go rent a $2,000 apartment, and that's two bedrooms. Maybe some of them, these older apartments, but you can't get in them. Two bedroom, two bath. Do you see how?
Yeah, the ones that are less than that, you can't get in them.
You can't get in them.
There's a waiting list for you.
So do you see why this is, why? So if it's like that in 2024, what is it going to be like for our children in 2030 who we are allowing to just be?
Regular.
Regular, because I was about to use my word. Regular, every day in school, every day. And we just letting them be who, where are they going?
Right.
Where are they going to live?
Riley,
who said
so
that?
Riley, so
they're never going to be able to leave unless we do something now. And so that's why we're doing this, because if we don't turn it around right here, it's not going backwards. You know, everybody waiting for, we're not going back to $90,000 houses. We're not going back to 2% interest, 3% interest. We're not going back there. If you don't have a cool million, you're not going to buy a house in St. Petersburg. That's where we are.
Well, you won't buy your dream house. You can buy a house.
Buy a house, but yeah, it won't be your dream house. Yeah, it won't, yeah. Yeah, you're not going to, yeah.
In fact, I remember reading an article on Money Watch last week. Said there's no such thing as a starter house in America anymore.
No. You got to come strong out the back.
The starter house doesn't exist.
Right, out the block. Right.
So can y'all understand why there's such an impetus upon us to really be raw, be real, that we understand where we are?
We've got to generate income.
And guess what? Deuteronomy 8:18. Mm-hmm. Give me that on the screen. Deuteronomy 8:18. Because God knew 2024 was going to be here.
He knew it. Thank you,
Jesus.
And
he says, you should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. He gives you power to get wealth.
Right.
He gives you power to get. That word get, you look it up, it's the word, it means to produce. He gives you power to produce wealth. Now, most of us are thinking about, you know, to make me rich. Yeah, okay, I understand. We all professing and confessing about being rich. I got you on that. I believe God wants you rich.
Right, absolutely.
How many of y'all, anybody agree with that? I believe God wants you rich. But before you get to rich, can we just start at, I got my basic needs met.
And what are the basic needs?
It's food, clothing, shelter.
And shelter comes before all of it.
Shelter comes before all of it. Because you can fast.
You can fast.
And you can wear them same clothes over and over again. Give me that same Deuteronomy 8:18, please, media. I know I didn't give y'all this, so please bear with me. In the CEV.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me in the CEV. Can y'all read it?
Yes, my God.
Ready, go.
Instead, remember that the Lord your God gives you the strength to make a living.
To do what?
To make a living. Hey, glory to God.
To make a living.
Make a living.
See, now we're not thinking about $1 billion in the bank. We're talking about, I just need to make a living. And he'll give you the strength to do it.
Right.
So if he gives you the strength to do it, the intent is for us to do it. Is to go make a living.
Right.
And I know, again, we talk deep faith, and we're super faith people. I know that. I love it. I love being at a faith church. And we talk faith about, no, I don't work for a living. I work for a giving and all that. I know that.
But you better get some living doing. Yeah.
But we need to. Mm-hmm.
You got to.
We need to come up above the deepness for just a little minute. And understand the basic necessities that we have to operate in, the fact that I need to make a living. Yes, sir. I need to make a living.
Right, man of God.
Oh, no, God's going to take care of me. I know we say that. But there's a scripture. Give me this scripture, please, media. In 2 Thessalonians 3.
Oh, Jesus.
And I can go out of order since I didn't give you this. I can go out of order. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 and 11. Look at this. This is what Paul says. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this.
Commanded.
Paul said, I left a command for the church. Here is your command. If anyone
will not work.
Dick, what is this? Does King James say anything different? You got to find it. He thinking about D like, oh Lord.
He
said, D, I'm trying to hire. We trying to hire at our job. We can't find enough people at our job.
3:10.
2 Thessalonians 3:10. They can give it to me in the King James. I want to make sure.
I have it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Would not work. So, I want to make sure it didn't say cannot.
Right. It doesn't say cannot. It said would not work.
I want to make sure. Okay, so would not. So, we can go back to New King James. So, will not, would not. Mm-hmm. So, we're not talking about people who cannot work. There are people who cannot work.
And those are the ones we help.
Those are the ones we are supposed to be helping. That's why we do Ephesians 4:28. Those of us who can work, we work. Labor
so
with our hands, so we have something to give to those who have need. That's part of why we work.
They cannot work.
Because they cannot work. But those who will not work,
they should not eat. Shall not. That's shall. That's present.
Neither shall he eat.
He said, I commanded you.
Let me say something, because I got to know a few retirees looking at me all strange. Y'all retirees, y'all worked your whole life.
Yeah.
And y'all are enjoying the fruit of your labor.
Yes.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm not talking to y'all. Enjoy the fruits.
Y'all enjoy the fruit of your labor. This whole first and second row is covered with retirees.
Retirees, like, down.
They're looking like, Pastor, down. I'm not going back to work. I'm not talking
to
you.
Y'all. That's right.
But I'm going to say this to the retirees. You're never, the command to produce is never lifted off your life.
No.
So you're still supposed to produce something.
Produce something.
You
sweet
just
potato
don't have
pies,
to go put in 8
something.
Hours nowhere. You ain't got to go put no 8 hours in. You can produce whatever time of day you feel like it.
Whatever you feel like it. I only produce on Thursdays.
I only produce on Thursdays. That's, enjoy that, baby. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So there's the command. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So this producing comes from working. And so thank God. Because I was going back to the point about God will help us. God will take care of us. Yes, but this is the command God gave through Paul. If you won't work, no, you're not supposed to eat. You're not supposed to eat. I'm talking about will not. Not cannot. I'm talking about will not. Y'all ever heard this scripture before?
Yes.
Look at the next verse. For we hear. This is why I'm giving this commandment. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Give me verse 12, too. Verse 12. Now those who are such, in other words, who won't work but are busybodies, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat your own doggone bread. Stop sitting there begging and waiting on people to give you some bread. Stop. I'm trying. I got to break this rule up. I mean, they said they're like a choir. Like, they all thought the same thing at the exact same time. So he says, those that are like that, I command you through Jesus Christ. So this is Jesus Christ's command to everyone to work in quietness, or in other words, mind your own business and eat your own bread. Tell your neighbor, mind your own business and eat your own bread. If you mind your own business, you can take care of your own self. Go back to verse 11. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some who will walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are what?
Busy bodies.
So we see two people groups, workers, and then we see busybodies. It's hard to be a worker when you're a busybody. And it's hard to be a busybody when you're a real worker.
Yes, sir.
Don't lose that scripture. But Proverbs 16, 26. Media, give me that. Hold on to 2 Thessalonians. Proverbs 16, 26. I got to hurry because we're already out of time, just about. Proverbs 16, 26. The person who labors, labors for himself. Why? For his hungry mouth. I got to eat, boss. I got to eat, boss, so I got to go labor. It says the hungry man, his mouth drives him on. In other words, his mouth will push him to work. That's the danger of the welfare system. That's what welfare did in America, was it destroyed people's hunger. Because if I feed you, you lose your drive. And when I get you to lose your drive, and I train your children like that, and the next generation like that, now we're, since 1967 or whatever, when Lyndon Johnson enacted his foolishness upon America, which was designed to destroy the family.
Right.
Black and white.
Right.
It was designed to destroy the family.
That's right.
Now we have generations who have no drive and waiting on somebody else.
Yes, man.
To give
That's
them bread.
It. That's right.
We see it all over America. But the problem is, if you don't work, the Bible says you're not supposed to eat. What you have?
Well, no, I was just going to say, and they knew that it would.
Oh, yeah, they knew that.
You know, the Marxist teachings, they knew that the welfare system would produce exactly what we're seeing. This is not shocking. They knew that if you put that in a culture or society, you will increase illiteracy, you will increase crime. They knew this.
This increased dependency on the government.
That's right. They knew what it would happen.
And what Pastor Kim said, Marxist. That's what's behind this whole attack against America, is Marxism.
That's right.
And it didn't start in the 70s. We saw it creeping into America in the 1800s.
That's
the,
exactly.
The philosophy of Marxism, Karl Marx. All the Marxist theories that are out there. That's what's behind
Black Lives Matter.
That's what's behind, what's the whole thing?
Eugenics.
Eugenics is behind race.
Theory.
Critical race theory.
Theory. Mm-hmm.
Critical fat theory. Y'all never heard of that. Marx,
critical race is
not the only thing that's out there. There's critical fat theory. There's critical finance theory. There's all these theories that are based on Marxism. They're designed to destroy the family and ultimately to destroy America. And if you create a generation of people who have no hunger and no thirst, why is it that people from, I mean, I hate that we got these borders open because of the drugs and the crime that's flooding America. But if the borders weren't open, boy, I know how we get a lot of work done around here. So I think America got to find a balance. We got to, properly vet people and say, come on in here. Because all these jokers we got here, nobody want to go to work. Because you wouldn't have no tomato sauce for your ketchup, nothing. If it wasn't from the migrants coming in. I'm telling you, these things that we call our conveniences, we wouldn't have anything. I mean, who would be doing our roofs on our houses? I'm just telling you, if you just honestly, what's happening? Because there are people out there who are still hungry. They're still hungry, but we've created a satiated American society. I'm cool as long as that check come in on the first. I'm not talking about Social Security, people who earn Social Security. I'm talking about people who sit and wait on the government and they're able-bodied. Go back to this 2 Thessalonians real quick. Then I want to open up for questions. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Not working at all, but are busybodies. Listen to this here, and I wish I had gotten this back to y'all media. The word busybody from the Greek means it's to bustle about uselessly. To busy oneself, listen to this, about trifling, needless, useless matters. This is from the Greek. People who busy themselves about trifling, needless, useless matters used apparently of a person officiously inquisitive about others' affairs. I'll say that again. Use apparently of a person officiously, not officially, officiously, and I'll define that, inquisitive about others' affairs. It means you're getting other folk business. Watch this. The word officiously, you want to know what that means? It's a person marked by excessive eagerness in offering unwanted service or advice to others. It's a person who eagerly offers unwanted services and advice to other people. Which means you jump giving folk advice and trying to help folk who they ain't ask for your help. I don't ask for your advice. I don't ask for your opinion. Did I ask you that? You're so busy helping me, you can't work like you need to work. This is what busybodies are. See, I grew up, you know, I've heard people, preachers talk about busybodies, and they were talking about people going around gossiping. But that's not, when you look up the definition of it, that word busybodies in the Greek is not about people going around gossiping. It's you being involved with other folk business and not handling your business. That's why there's another scripture, and I should have looked it up, that says, it says it this way, it reads this way, mind your own business. Somebody look it up. Look it up. There's a scripture in the New Testament, one of the epistles, where Paul says these words, mind your own business. Media can find it real quick. They type in the phrase, mind your own business. It'll come right up. Mind your own business. If somebody else get it, just give it to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. No, that's not it. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Yeah. It says in the New King James. You don't have to change translations. In New King James says it. Yeah, we got it. That you aspire to lead a quiet life. Read it with me. Mind your own business and as we commanded you. What did God say he would do if we obey him? Did he not say, I will bless the work of your hands? He said, what you got to do is work with your hands and mind your own business. And we were saying, mind your own doggone business. Business. You don't have time to get anybody else's business. Your opinion is not that valuable. Only you think that. That's why you got to feel like you got to give everybody your opinion and be involved in everybody else's business. First of all, show me your, here's the word, manifestation.
Manifestation.
Manifestation. Before I get your advice and your help. Tend to your own business. Work with your own hands. Are y'all seeing this here? Now, let me finish because we're out of time, but I want to just pose this question to you, okay? Because here's what you got to do. We're talking about income. Pastor Kim gave us some numbers here. You can, if you want to look at these numbers up, there's a website called smartassets.com, smartassets.com, and they do all kind of studies. Can I give you one study that they gave?
Yep.
Were you going to give that one?
Yeah, about the cost of how much it costs to live in this area. That one?
Yeah, this was from Smart Asset. Mm-hmm. They did a study, and this was posted in the online platform I read called St. Pete Catalyst, mm-hmm. okay? It's all about St. Pete. I always want to know what's happening in this city, okay?
Right.
Smart Asset did a study, and they concluded that St. Petersburg is the most affordable city in Florida.
Right.
How many of y'all agree with that? St. Peter's most affordable city. None of y'all agree.
But it is. They did the study.
But they studied all the cities in America, right. in Florida. Well, actually, all the largest cities in America. And when it came to Florida, their study concluded that St. Pete, now y'all. No, this just came out.
Yeah, just said 2024.
I prepared this last week.
Yeah.
I pulled these stats last week.
Right, in Florida.
This was a study just done.
Right.
That they're using it. This is all recent information. This is brand new information.
Right.
They concluded St. Petersburg, thank you for that, smartasset.com, is the most affordable city in Florida. And I know y'all sitting there like, man, right. I can go to Crystal River. I know I can do me something. Boy, I can go to Pehokee on the Muck. 5 miles outside of Belgrade, Florida. I know I can do something big. Go down to Tiny Rebonia. You used to be able to go down to Tiny Rebonia and get Palmetto. No, you think you'll go, no. Or Bristol. One traffic light and a Burger King.
And what they base that on is something called the 50-30-20 principle. So it's not just your ability to make your bills. It's 50% of your money going to pay your rent or your housing, 30% going towards your entertainment and your social, 20% going towards your debt relief, investment, and insurance. So they use this 50-30-20. So when we walk through this city and we try to figure out how are these people downtown living it up, driving nice, eating well, well, Smart Asset also did another study, and they said, in order to live by that 50-30-20 financial principle in this area, a single person needs to make $94,000 a year. So if you're not making $94,000 a year, you may live, but you don't have any social.
Or you should.
You shouldn't. As a single person. Yeah. They're saying you shouldn't be very social, nor should you be paying off any debt or have any investment, because it requires that much to live that life in this area. And as a couple, it was $212,000, if I'm not mistaken, to live that downtown Saint, that thing we see. That thing you see, you know, when you go downtown and they're sitting out front of Park Shore and they're laughing and the dogs are laying there, and then they go and sit on the beach and then they go and get gelato and then they finish gelato and then they go to the Mahaffey to a show and then they take a vacation and they go, you know, we went yachting last weekend and it was so wonderful, and they come back to work all, you know, tanned and you know, all of that, right? Okay, because they're making that kind of money.
So does everybody understand, we're not, y'all heard us preach about mansions and yachts. Y'all heard preaching about God will give you that. I mean, he'll do this. I mean, planes and all these things that God wants us to have. But we're talking right now just about having a key to a door.
Key to a door.
Making a living.
And water coming out of the faucet.
And water coming out
and
of the
lights
faucet.
And lights when you click that switch.
When you click that switch. And open your refrigerator and there's no echo inside of it.
Right. Right.
We're talking about that basic now.
Peanut butter and jelly on demand.
On demand. You can always have and a glass of milk.
On demand. So there's a question that we have to ask ourselves. And that question is, what does it take to be you or y'all at the end of each month? If you can't answer how much it takes to be you or to be me, then you're not handling your business. And that's equal to the amount of income you must earn. You must earn. It's not, if your rent is X and your electricity is Y and your water is Z and your car note is J, then X plus Y plus Z plus J must equal what you bring home, not what you make, what you actually bring home. If those two things aren't equal, you are underwater. And that means income must increase. Now, I understand sowing and reaping.
Right.
But do we all agree that faith takes longer?
Yes.
I ain't talking about that this meeting. That's the meeting coming up in June.
In April.
Yeah, that's that meeting. This meeting is, can you make your bills, or do you even know what it costs to be you?
Right.
Because we're doing a lot of things. We're paying a price, but we don't know the cost. We're wearing the jail polish.
And the price is, how much is jail polish?
Baby, I don't get jail.
Okay, hand it by.
Somebody,
the price for jail.
I wait for a gift card. I don't do that.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a number, $25.
Huh? No, babe. $55. Mommy says $55.
I just heard $75.
Who's okay, on your toes? On your toes? Hold on, babe. You said acrylic on your toes plus the gel polish equals $75.
I believe it.
Baby, that's a prime rib roast. I'm just going to tell you.
So when Pastor Kim mentions two words, price and cost. Price and cost are two different things. Do you understand that? Y'all listening? Price and cost are two different things. Price, $75. Cost depends on your income. To a person who makes $1,000 a week, that $75 doesn't cost them as much. But the person who makes $500 a week, that $75 costs them a whole lot more.
And what did it cost? It cost your ability to pay your child's school fees. It cost you your ability to make your rent. It cost you your ability to keep your lights on without having to ask for an extension. It cost you your relationship with your mama because you borrowed money last month, you didn't pay back. Now you're borrowing more. It cost you more.
Or it cost you your ability to invest.
It cost you ability to tithe. It cost you.
So price and cost are two different things.
Yeah. So you paid the price.
But what did it cost?
But when you got to the end of the month and it was time for that calendar to change over to the next month, are you still paying for last month because you didn't count the cost? You've got to count up all the costs. What it takes to walk your shoes. What does it take to be you? Now, if you say I'm an extravagant person, right? Amen. Then you've got to have an extravagant income. Now, I'm going to say it like this, not me. This is Dave Ramsey. This ain't me. Dave Ramsey said it. He told a young
lady. I've heard of Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, financial guy.
Financial Peace University.
So he told a young lady she wanted a car. Well, she had bought a car, and it was a lot of car. It was to the tune of it wasn't that much, maybe $47,000. And he said, baby, what is your occupation? She says, I'm a teacher. He said, oh, you bought the wrong car.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong profession because teachers drive Corollas.
That's what he said.
Teachers don't drive.
In fact, his exact words were, you chose a Corolla career.
That's what he said. He said it just like that. And so if we shift our mindset, and I'm not talking about faith.
Yeah, right.
Nobody come at me about faith. I'm not talking about faith. I'm not talking about the Lord says you know, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above. I'm not talking about that tonight. Tonight I'm talking about, are you being a good steward are you stewarding? Are you making your ends meet?
All right, here's the thing. Are you stewarding your talents, gifts, and abilities?
Right, to produce.
To produce income. Are you stewarding what God has put inside you to produce the income that you need or that you desire?
Right. And here's the thing. Until you are, you've got to pull it back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's getting bad. And I'm going to pull it in pastorally. It's getting bad in this house.
Right.
I'm going to say it right. Godly fearful.
Yeah.
Of where we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Collectively. Because we are doing more than I know we're making. Well, Pastor Kim, what do you mean? I'll just be mom and I'll talk to you like I would talk to my kids. I like Tori Burch a whole lot. I like her a lot. She's one of my favorites. She's one of my favorites. But $200 on a pair of flip-flops when you're making $23,000 a year, $30,000 a year, or you're carrying $200,000 in debt, stop it. I'm begging you. I am begging you. I am begging you. If you're only making $32,000 a year, you can't have all of the Dunks and the retro this and the retro that and the Vapor Max this. You cannot. Well, my faith is bringing them in. Prove it to me. Well, I ain't got to prove nothing to you. Okay.
Prove it to you.
Prove it. Because here's what's happening. There's not going to be built anymore what we call affordable housing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no more. There's no more coming. Well, they're building all over the city and they say that's affordable. No, that's not what they're calling it anymore.
They're now
calling it attainable houses.
They've changed it now.
What does attainable mean? Attainable means that I'm going to take the median income of an area and I'm going to meet that. Here in this area, the median income is now $35 an hour. And so if we're getting excited about 20, and we're letting our kids be donkeys in the classroom.
That's right.
What are we going to do? Well, I got my coach at the outlet. Why you want an outlet bag anyways, number one? And number two, why did you just waste your money on that when you don't have 3 months of rent saved up? Because if something happens, there's no more of these jobs that like it used to be where jobs were loyal and they... No, when they've had enough, you come in on Tuesday and you think everything's wonderful and there's a meeting. Hey, we need everybody in the break room. And they call you in and let's have a talk. Hey, we're so glad and you're wonderful and we appreciate all of your service. There are no severance packages being given anymore. It's goodbye. What do you do in the middle of the month if they say goodbye? You cannot eat that purse. You cannot fry those flip-flops. You cannot eat that hair. You cannot chew on those nails. You can't give your baby, you can't. They're useless at that point. So we've got to look at what it costs to be us and make sure that what we are bringing in meets that. Now, that's just meeting. That doesn't give you any room to pay off the debts, to invest so that you can earn some level of interest, or to save so that you can earn some level of interest. Mm-hmm. If everything you bring in is going back out.
That's right. So that being said, I'm going to close here and take a couple questions. Not only do you need to know what it costs to be you, basically, you need a spending plan. You need a spending plan. We normally call it budget, but I know people don't like the word budget. So I'm going to give you a soft word, spending plan. Give every dollar a name. Where's that money going? Have that plan before the money comes. Because if you don't have a plan before the money comes, then it kind of leaks out. It takes wings. The Bible says that. Your money will take wings and fly away to heaven. So you have to have a spending plan. So when the money comes in, it's already earmarked for something. There's a place that you can get to where you're not that stringent every month, but when it's tight, you got to find out where the leaks are, find out where you're wasting, and plug those leaks. Start building up, but you have to get to a place where there's a basic income. Okay, there's dignity in work. There's dignity in work.
There's
in all labor there's profit. That's right, Proverbs 14:23. In all labor, there is profit. So this is not deep. Again, we're not talking faith tonight. So don't write us any nasty letters and emails about, I thought y'all were faith people. We are faith people. We are faith people. Faith without works is dead. God will do the supernatural when you do the natural. right? And if you talk about finances in a way, the supernatural, that comes from sowing seed. And if you don't have seed, we can't talk anyway. Amen? All right, time for a couple questions real quick. Couple questions. Anybody have one? Anybody have one? If not, I'm going to eat. Okay, yes, ma'am. Make sure the microphone's on for her, please.
You didn't talk about a spending plan. Are you going to make that available and teach how to use it?
We can. In fact, we have something on our website already. We did a Relate conference a few years back. It's on our website, but we will make that available to you, to everybody. Yeah, it's good because you have to know how to allocate money. The Bible says that, it's Proverbs 27, I think it says, be diligent to know the state of your flock, for riches do not last forever. Be diligent, know the state of your, you got to know what your money looks like. And if you don't know, if somebody said, came to you and said, hey, you know what, right now, I want to pay off all your debt. How much debt you have? If you you missed it. You need to know how much debt you have. You need to know who you owe. Because you can't put together a plan without knowing where you are. So that's why it's so important to line these things out. And it might seem tedious. Our tax preparer is here, and we were going over our taxes today. You know, we've been working on that, and she gave me some bad news today, but praise the Lord. You know, I'm not going to hold it against her, how much we owe Uncle Sam. Praise God. But she'll tell you, I had all of our expenses, our housing expenses, lined out on a chart of what it costs to be us. Am I right? All laid out. To a dime, to a penny.
And so the practical thing, until you know what that number is, there's something that we do in our house. He'll come out and he'll say, hey, no spending this month, mm-hmm. No spending this week, because we've got to get a picture. Mm-hmm. And you can't get an accurate snapshot if money's still moving. You got to hit the stop button.
A moratorium.
Right. You got to hit a stop button so we can see where everything is. Because what happens, especially when you're married, is he's pulling out of the account. I'm pulling out of the account. I use this card. I went to this place. I went in the safe. He went in the safe. I wrote. Well, we don't have any checks.
Well, I'm talking about.
Oh, other people. Yeah. You know, and you're doing all of that, and you can't get a picture because everything's still moving. So you have to stop the conveyor belt and go ahead and count the pieces. And when you do that, you cancel everything that's not important. So all of them steak candles that's giving us headaches, don't buy anymore. I'm trying to help. I really am trying to help. Don't buy anymore this week. Don't do your nails.
Pause.
Just stop. Don't do your nails. Wear your hair another week. Don't go to the dry cleaners. Put on the other dress in the back of the... Because if you don't ever stop to see where you are and to get a good picture, you're lying to yourself. And so we've had people counsel and come to counsel, and they think they are better than they are until you start calling out things. Well, how much are you spending on dry cleaning? People don't think about that. It's been your habit since you were 12 to go to Vogue and drop off clothes and pick up clothes in Vogue. But you don't know until you stop that you're spending $250 a month dry cleaning jeans. So you got to stop. So those things that are not necessities, until you know what it costs to be you, put all of that on hold. And then... Because amen.
There's a lot of young folk in here. We're blessed with that. Yeah. But how many of y'all older folk remember an episode of I Love Lucy when Lucy and Ethel Mertz were working in the chocolate factory? Y'all remember that? And the conveyor belt was going on with chocolate, and they end up getting too fast. That's the picture I saw where you said, stop it. You got to stop, shut it down for a minute. Let's try to catch up. Let me breathe. But that's what has to happen. That's what has to happen. Okay, any more questions before we close out? Any more questions? Are we done? Okay, yes, sir.
So when you stop the spending, how long do you suggest to stop spending to see where you are?
Well, until all your checks have cleared, okay. All your expense, all your transactions have cleared your bank.
Okay.
Then you have a snapshot. You can take a snapshot at any point.
Right.
But once everything's cleared, mm-hmm. which only takes two or three days, really, right. for everything to clear, is all right, here's what I've spent over the last 30 days. If you use definitely like debit cards or credit cards, your bank, if you have a quality bank, they have spending analysis on your statements. Mm-hmm. They can tell you.
Right. And then two, once you stop it and you get the picture, you're going to know if your income is sufficient for who you are being or pretending to be. Okay? And then if you find that I've been pretending, right? And I think many are going to find that we've been pretending. Because if you're not servicing all your debt, you're pretending.
Right.
Okay? Right. Yeah. So you don't start adding back in those luxuries until you can afford to be luxurious. Right? So
And that's where faith what we learned. We learned this early on in our journey.
Yes.
Is to, okay, Lord, we're going to handle the basics because that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to trust you for the luxuries. And he would always bring along these luxuries.
That's right.
He would always give us these things. Not us spending money for him. God would have somebody bless us with something, or somebody would have a free this, or I mean, just whatever we would do. God would bring along those luxuries so our souls still stayed in the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because your soul needs to be appeased.
Exactly.
You need to be happy. But God will work with you when you are you know, handling the business. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's enough questions. Oh, there's one more. One more right behind you, Jerry. And that's the last one.
So I want to get some hope also. So here's my question. All right, so I've done tons of investment. And when it comes to gold, I don't think anybody has really thought this through. When you buy gold, you got gold. Okay, now it comes time to spend it. What are they going to give you? What are your suggestions?
Well, I was hoping you would teach us, because we talked about you teaching on
gold.
I mean,
I do have some ideas.
Well, I have somebody who can teach it. Brother Don here in this church, Don Kabaski, is a gold and silver buyer. He does it all the time. He has tons of his stuff. And he knows what you can do when you buy gold and silver, actually have the actual metal itself. You can go to the same people, and they'll buy it from you. Now, I can't walk into Publix with that gold or silver, but I can go right to one of the gold or silver buyers, and they'll buy it at today's rate, which is going to be higher than you paid for it.
But look what they give you back.
But they're going to give you dollars back.
Yeah, that was the thing that right. I was right. talking to someone that was selling gold to me, and I said if the dollar becomes worthless.
Exactly right.
What are they going to give me back? Well, for a loaf of bread, you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We saw what happened to Germany. Young people may not remember that, but in history it showed that the money became worthless. The dollar bill became worthless in mm-hmm. Germany. And people were taking wheelbarrows full of money
to go buy bread. That's right.
Right? Okay, so if that happened here, what would they give me back? If I have a coin that's worth a couple of $1,000, then they don't give me back.
I don't know what the issue is with that. That's a good question. But those are definitely things you want to look into, and we'll get into that when we get on the investment side, because we're going to talk about investments, because there's all sorts of avenues. In fact, I talked to you about teaching about stocks. You know, since that's a thing that church folk have been scared of, yet the stock market investors have outpaced the market tons to one. Over the years, the stock market, even as much as it fluctuates, has proved one of the best investment tools over time that there's ever been. Cryptocurrency, as much as it's fluctuated, is worth tons more today than it was. And everybody was scared of it. Anybody know cryptocurrency? Yet if you had, you'd be a millionaire, multimillionaire today. So there are things, but you know, you have to seek God's face on that as what would he have you to do Okay? This is you depending on God for his instruction, all right? We want to deal with the basics. Again, I'm not a stock analyst and all that stuff, but I know basics. I know how to live. Amen? Let's close out in prayer. Listen, before I close out, again, many of you know,